Now, from perfect effort itself, we must now turn to the context or the background of perfect effort. Last week we saw that the ramifications of perfect livelihood extended to the entire community, the whole society. In the same way, we may say the ramifications of perfect effort, its implications, extend to the whole evolutionary process. Perfect effort makes it clear, in fact, we may say, that the spiritual life is a special phase of the evolutionary process itself. That it constitutes, in fact, what I've elsewhere called the higher evolution. Now, what do we mean by this? A couple of years ago, I gave here in London a talk on evolution, lower and higher. And some of those who are present today may have heard that lecture. I'm afraid it was rather a long lecture. I'm afraid today's lecture talk rather is rather a long one, and I haven't time this evening to repeat or even to summarize what I said on that occasion. But for those who are interested, the whole lecture is on tape and available. Just a few points, however, from that previous lecture. Evolution, we may say, the concept of evolution, we may say, is in many ways the dominant modern concept. It emerged first of all in the sphere of biology, but it was rapidly extended to all other departments of knowledge. So that nowadays we talk about the evolution of religion, evolution of spiritual life, evolution of consciousness, and so on. Huxley, Julian Huxley, that is to say, says in one of his books, the different branches of science combine to demonstrate that the universe in its entirety must be regarded as one gigantic process, a process of becoming, of attaining new levels of existence and organization, which can properly be called a genesis or an evolution. So man is a part of the universe, of nature. So man too is in process of becoming. Man too is attaining all the time new levels. Not just new forms, but new levels of existence and organization. Man too. He wasn't just created like that, as people used to think in the past, in the West. Man has evolved. Man is evolving still. Now, any evolving phenomenon can be studied in two ways. Can be studied in terms of the past, can be studied in terms of the future. Can be studied in terms of its origins, and in terms of its destination, of its goal. Or, to use the technical language, it can be studied genetically, and it can be studied teleologically. So suppose we take this phenomenon, man. Suppose, that is to say, we take ourselves. Suppose we take man, at the best, that we usually know him, as a self-conscious, as an aware human being, someone who is, let us say, intelligent, sensitive, responsible. Taking such a being, we can look at him in two ways, or we can try to understand him in two ways. First, in terms of what he has developed out of, and secondly, in terms of what he will or can at least develop into. Now the first, the story of what he has developed out of, this constitutes the lower evolution. And the second, what he will or can develop into, this constitutes the higher evolution. The lower evolution is the subject matter of science, especially the sciences of biology and anthropology. The higher evolution is covered by the religions, especially, we would say, by Buddhism. Now, as this may all become a little bit complicated, I think we better start thinking, as it were, diagrammatically. In the course of our last series of lectures at the Kingsway Hall, We had provided for some very excellent charts, but this time there was no time to produce a chart, but I have instead made a very rough sketch on the blackboard, which I'm now going to ask you to look at.